Good evening. I invite your attention tonight to the book of John, chapter 3. John, chapter 3. We'll begin in verse 22, John 3, 22. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Aenon near to Salem, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized, for John was not yet cast into prison. In Luke chapter 1, we read that the angel said concerning John the Baptist that he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. You know, we read the same thing about Christ, that he shall be great. Two different kinds of greatnesses. The angel went on to say this about John. He said, "Many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God." You saw it this morning that God used John the Baptist greatly. He used him greatly to declare the gospel, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. John was a faithful minister of God. And right here we read in verse 24 about John not yet being cast into prison. Do you know, much like Paul and several other gospel preachers of old, John was cast into prison. And the reason was for preaching God's word. Amazing. Anytime I really enter into that, it amazes me just how easy we have it in our day. And not only was John thrown into prison, he was eventually beheaded for simply declaring the truth. You know, we think how sad, don't we? We think, well, I hope that doesn't happen to us. I hope it doesn't. But nonetheless, that's our brother John, okay? Greatly used of God to preach the gospel, thrown into prison for preaching the gospel, and beheaded for that very reason, all right? Now look here in verse 25. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. I'll go ahead and tell you, I don't know exactly what that question is, all right? But I do know this. When it comes to our purification, it's Christ. I can't purify myself. Scriptures talk about having clean hands, a pure heart. I might have it backwards. We need to have those things. I can't do it. Christ can. He is the only purification that there is before God, okay? Look at verse 26. And they came to John and said unto him, "Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him." Now, this sets up our message right here. So what's going on is John the Baptist, he had, it says, disciples or followers, some men that you could just say they were in his assembly, so to speak. They followed John. John was their minister. And it comes to their attention that some men are going to the Lord Jesus Christ and to his disciples and being baptized of them. They're not coming to John the Baptist. It just didn't make any sense to them. You want to be baptized, why are you not coming to John the Baptist? They were very confused. Now, I mentioned the question. I'm not sure exactly what the question was about, but I know this. They clearly put too much emphasis on John and perhaps on water baptism itself. Now, I know this was recently dealt with here. Our Lord commands baptism for those who believe and be baptized, right? We know that. But we must remember, water baptism don't save us. Christ saves us. We must be baptized in the Spirit of Christ. Now, I love, and this is what our whole message is going to consist of, I love John's response. The last, I think, 10 verses of this text are John's response to his disciples being concerned and troubled about what they found out about men coming to Christ, not to John, all right? First thing we see John say here is in verse 27, John answered and said, "A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven." When they came to John and they told him this, I can just see them being all torn up, just so upset. And they tell John that, honestly, I can just see a smile light up across his face. He wasn't upset at all. John rejoiced and was glad to hear this. John, he said a man can receive nothing. I mentioned John's disciples, no doubt, were getting caught away glorying in John. John knew he was just a man. I'm just a man who has received nothing that hasn't come from heaven. Everything he had, his life, his salvation, his ministry, John knew it all came from God. It all came from above. And as God's minister, and this is true of all God's ministers and all God's people, John's utmost sincere desire was that all men might come not to him. Well, look at my following. That's irrelevant. His desire was that all men might come to Christ. That's why, no doubt, John was thrilled to hear this news. Look at verse 27 again. John answered and said, "A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. What do we have that we have not received?" The answer is absolutely nothing. Nothing. Let's not glory in ourselves. God forbid. We saw that this morning. Glory in Christ alone. Let's, everything we have came from God. All right. That's the first thing John tells him here. And look next, verse 28. He said, "Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him." John reiterates the fact that he's not the Christ. Our brother just read it to us in John chapter 1. He said, "I'm not the Christ." They asked, "Are you Elijah?" He said, "Nope." "Nope, I'm not." John's not the Christ, and he's not in competition with Christ. He wasn't Christ's rival. Well, we have John, and then we have this man, Jesus Christ. They were on the same side. They weren't in competition with one another. John was simply sent to declare Christ. We saw this morning. What was Paul sent to declare? Christ. Jesus Christ and him crucified. We didn't read this in John 1, but in there, a couple of things it says I want to point out. John spoke of Christ, the light. Just one light. He said he's that true light that lights every man that cometh into the world. He's the light of the world. He's the light of his people. He's the light. He said, "He that cometh after me," you remember John. John was born shortly before the Lord. He was sent to prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. But he said, "He that cometh after me, he's preferred before me. For he was before me." He's, I am. That's who he is. John said, "Behold the Lamb of God." He saw him coming. He said, "Behold him who takes away the sin of the world, the sin of all his people." And I love the last verse our brother read, John 1:34. He said, "This is the Son of God." John didn't have any doubt about it. He knew exactly who he was. And that's who he came to declare. And I love this too. John, he declared Christ, but what did he declare concerning himself? I love it. He said, "I'm just the voice of one crying in the wilderness." That's a good description of every minister of God, or all God's people. We're just a voice. He didn't even say his name. They kept asking, "Who are you?" He didn't even give himself a name. He just said, "I'm a voice. A voice crying in the wilderness." That's what this world is. It's a wilderness. But praise God for sending voices to cry. "Thus saith the Lord," declaring Christ. By the grace of God, and that's the only way. John was a humble, faithful servant of Christ. And I'm so thankful God has given him for us to read about and learn from. Verse 28, he said, "Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him." This is a beautiful verse right here, verse 29. "He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled." Like we just saw, John wasn't upset. This was his joy. John, what he's saying here is, "I'm the friend of the bridegroom. Christ is the bridegroom. I'm his friend." When I read this, I couldn't help but think about a wedding. We've all been to a wedding. Some of us have had our own wedding. And I thought about that best man that the groom has asked to stand right beside him. And I've never been a best man. Some of you may have. And if you have, I can't help but imagine what a blessing and a privilege that must be to get to stand right there beside your friend who has chosen you as their best friend, and you get to stand there and hear his voice. You get to hear him profess his love to his bride. Again, that's a good illustration of gospel preachers. We are, by God's grace and by what Christ has done for us, we get to call him our friend. He made us to be his friends, and we get to hear his voice. That's how God speaks to us, is through his word, through the preaching of it. We hear his voice. We get to hear him declare what he's done for his bride. Amazing. Lovely. hearing his voice, our joy is fulfilled. Do we know who he is? Have we heard his voice? And I love this. Who is he? Look what John said. Look how he prefaced verse 29. He said, he that hath the bride. That's who the bridegroom is. He's not trying to get his bride. You know, for years, in my mind, I was trying to find my bride. Finally, the Lord gave me my bride. No, he has. That word hath, he has had, he does have, he forever will have his bride. Don't you love that? He that hath the bride. I love that. He has her. How does he have her? Well, the Father chose her for him. He sent him here to die for her, to humble himself for her. He redeemed her by pouring out on purpose, willingly, his own precious blood for her. He did that for her, gave himself completely. You know, when we enter into the covenant of marriage, we vow to give ourselves entirely for our bride. And we, at least I, struggle mightily in doing so. Not Christ. He has his bride. He gave himself completely for her, and she's his. He said, I'm hers. She's mine. I'm my beloved's. My beloved's mine. He married us. He bought us. Wonderful. If we ever hear his voice, we can say like John, my joy is fulfilled. Pray he'll allow us to hear his voice. Look at verse 30. He went on to say, he must increase, but I must decrease. This was the prayer of John's heart. You know, in preaching the gospel, our ultimate desire ought to be that he must increase. You know, this flesh likes to glory in itself. Just be honest with you, it does. It still does. I'd be lying if I said it didn't. But the Spirit, the new man in me, desires that right there for the Lord Jesus Christ to increase and increase and increase. For him to be glorified and glorified above all else forever and ever. And he will be. And I pray God would make that our desire. You know, in the context here, John's disciples, his followers, were upset that essentially some men were being taken from John and given to Christ. That's basically what was going on here. And John is making it very clear to them, look, this is not about me. This isn't even my ministry. It's his. You may be following me, but you follow me as I follow Christ. You follow me in the Lord. We're all followers of Christ. You see that? That's what John's making very clear right here. Okay? He must increase, not me. He must be exalted. What about me? I must be abased. Even so, right here in John 3, must the Son of Man be lifted up? He must be lifted up and praised and glorified, worshipped, honored, and extolled, him alone. After all, he's worthy to be. The only one who's worthy is the Lamb of God, which was slain. He is worthy to be. Verse 31 says, he that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. I love that too. And John acknowledges, I am of the earth. I'm earthly. He's not. You know, earthly speaking, John was his cousin. And yet John knew, I'm carnal, sold under sin. He's the holy Lord of heaven and earth. Job put it this way. He said, God is greater than man. Now that's an understatement, ain't it? It's a true statement, but an understatement. And John knew it too. He said, he's above all. You think of the greatest thing you can think of and just think how much greater he is. There's some things in this life that really amaze me. Pray we'll always remember he's greater. He's higher. He's more excellent than whatever it is that we can imagine. He's God. He's on his throne. Heaven's his throne. The heavens aren't clean in his sight. This earth is just his footstool. The clouds of the sky, you know, sometimes you get up in the clouds and the airplane, that's the dust of his feet. You need to remember that. That's who he is. That's how high and holy he is. We're of the earth. You know, we tend to get so high and mighty and puffed up and lifted up in pride and vanity. We need to remember what we are. We're dust. Dust we are. To dust we shall return. Verse 32. And what he hath seen and heard, speaking of Christ, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. In the book of Revelation, we're told that the Lord Jesus Christ is the faithful and true witness. He told Pilate, he said, "For this cause came I into the world, that I might bear witness unto the truth." That's exactly what he did. That's what he did every day he walked this earth. That's what he did at the cross. Mercy and truth met together, righteousness, peace, kissed each other. It all happened in Christ. He came to bear witness to the truth, to manifest the truth of God. And though that's what he did, though he is the faithful and true witness, though he is truth itself. Here we read the sad truth about you and me. In verse 32, no man receiveth his testimony. How sad. And yet how true. We must acknowledge this to be true concerning ourselves. Look down here at verse 7 in chapter 3. Talking to Nicodemus, who he just told him must be born again. And Nicodemus was confused. Verse 7. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel? Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was a religious man. He had so much religious knowledge of the scriptures. And I love what our Lord said here. He said, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Look at verse 11. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. We don't receive his witness. We receive a lot of witnesses. We believe just about anything we hear. You see it online. Well, I believe it. And yet we don't believe his faithful and true witness. What a sad testament to us. And I want to show you this. Look at verse 19. This is the condemnation that light, and that's Christ, is come into the world, and men, all men, loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Brethren, that's us. We have no boasting. We have no glorying but in him. You see what John's saying? Now look at verse 32 again. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. Now look at verse 33. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. I thought no man receives his testimony. You know, there's people that believe that the scriptures contradict itself. Maybe that's one they'll say. No man receives it. He that receiveth. There are some, praise the Lord, who receive God's testimony. And the verse I'll quote is Isaiah 53, verse 1. Who hath believed our report? Who hath believed God's word, the gospel of God's grace? He said, to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? That's who believes it. That's who receives God's testimony. Those to whom God has been pleased to reveal, to make known the arm, the strength of the Lord. And that's a person. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm to the nations. All the ends of the earth are going to see the salvation of our God. That's Christ. If Christ has been revealed to us, then we won't be able to help but to receive, believe God's testimony, his witness. And if we do find ourselves believing it, believing what God has recorded, what he's written, let's remember what John said in verse 27. A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Faith, we must have faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But faith's the gift of God. God works it in us, performs it in us. If God has given us faith, we can do what verse 33 says, and that's set to our seal that God is true. I love how it's worded, I believe, in Ephesians, where Paul tells us we've been sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. God's given us the earnest of his inheritance, the Spirit that bears witness to the things that we've heard, bears witness to Christ. We know it's true. We know whom we have believed. We're persuaded of it, that he's able to keep that which God has caused us to commit unto him against that day. We know. We don't have to wonder if, well, is he really the Son of God? Is all this really true, what the scriptures say? We don't have to wonder, because God's given us faith to believe it. And I'm so thankful that he has and that he does. Look at verse 34. He went on to say, "For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God." Jesus Christ is the one whom God hath sent. God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. And I thought about this. Every time Christ spoke, he spoke the truth. He spoke the words of God, because he is the Word of God. He is God, and he's the Word of God, and he's the truth. Every time he spoke, you just imagine that. You imagine all the people that got to hear him speak. You know, this morning with the kids, we looked at the rich young ruler. There at first, he went away sorrowful because he had all these riches. He had all that goodness in himself. He got to hear the Lord of glory speak to him face to face. He heard the words of God, and he went away sorrowful. I'm glad to know that the Lord, beholding him, loved him. Because at first, I believe we all go away sorrowful. No need, no lack. He said, one thing you lack. No desire of Christ, the one thing needful. Christ is the Word of God. And in verse 34, he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God. All God's messengers, what do they speak? The words of God. That's it. That's it. I have to add a few words here and there to make it, you know, what we call preaching. I'd be content just to read it, and may God bless it as he will. But he that speaketh the words of God, that's God. If God sent a man, that's what he's going to speak. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2, you know how it says, God hath spoken unto us by his Son. We must hear him speak. You hear my voice right now, and I'm sorry. I pray you'll hear his voice. I pray I'll hear his voice. I like what the Lord told Jeremiah. A lot of times before I stand to speak, I will read this. It's very comforting to me, and if you're ever asked to speak, I encourage you to read it as well. I'll just read you a portion of it. The Lord told Jeremiah, he said, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Jeremiah, he was just scared to death, and I understand that a little bit. He said, oh, Lord, I can't speak. I'm just a child. I don't know how old he was. He could have been very young. It doesn't matter. The Lord told him. He said, Jeremiah, listen. Here's what he said. He said, thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. We must be sent. And he said, whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Well, what am I going to speak? Well, if God sent us, we're going to speak the words of God. And that's what he's commanded us to speak. And I like this too. He went on to tell Jeremiah, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. You see how that's comforting to get up here and speak? He sends us. He sends us with his word. He puts it in our mouth. And he'll bless it according to his will. Praise the Lord. Verse 34, he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. God gives the Spirit by measure unto us. He giveth more grace. I don't want to dwell on that, but he does not give the Spirit by measure unto Christ. He has it in full. I like what Matthew Henry said, an old commentator. He said, the Spirit was not in Christ as in a vessel, but as in a fountain, as in a bottomless ocean. I love it. We know all the fullness of God dwells in him, and we are complete in him. So, though the Spirit may be given by measure unto us, there's a verse that mentions the measure of the gift of Christ. Well, in Christ, we have it all. We have it all. Verse 35, the Father loveth the Son. If we don't get anything else out of this message, I pray we'll go home with that. The Father loveth, I remember, it means he has, he does, and he always will, the Son. If there's one thing we take away from this message, may God press that upon our hearts. He loves the Son. He loves the Son. You remember when the Father spoke from heaven, when Peter wanted to build a tabernacle for Moses, Elijah, and the Lord. And the more I've studied that, I really think Peter meant well. I really do. Remember what the Father spoke from heaven? He said, this is my beloved Son. in whom I'm well pleased, hear ye him. And buddy, they fell down sore afraid. And then they arose and they saw no man save Jesus only. He came over and he touched them. He said, be not afraid. God the Father loves the Son, loves God the Son. God's love is in Christ, and it's only in Christ. If God is going to love a sinner, we know Christ came to save sinners. Well, God loves sinners. Well, we're all sinners. God loves the sinner who's been washed in the blood of Christ. He loves that sinner who's robed in the perfect, spotless, pure righteousness of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. May our prayer be, Lord, give me Christ. I have to have Christ. Verse 35 again. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. I want to read you a few verses here. John 17:2 says, thou hast given him, as Christ, power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. All God's people are in Christ's hand. All right. John 5:22 says, the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. All judgment, we all must stand before the judge. All judgment is in Christ's hand. And last one, Colossians 1:17 says, he is before all things, and by him all things consist. You know what that means? All things are in his hand. He is our sovereign God, our creator, our ruler, our maker, our sustainer. He's our all in all. Now, John 3:36, here's the conclusion of John's message here. He said, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That is one of the most sobering verses of Scripture that I know. This is life and death. Not this life and death. This is eternal life and death. This is the most important thing we could ever consider, our puny brains could ever enter into. Everything John has declared so far, remember, it stemmed from his followers being concerned that something was being taken from him and given to Christ. They were coming to Christ and not to John. They were glorying in John, a man. And so John took these 10 verses to tell them very plainly, it's all about Christ. We must have Christ. We must believe on Christ. If we don't, God says the wrath of God abides on us, and it always will. We must believe on Christ. Now, if we do, that's the evidence that God has given unto us eternal life. And it literally reads that way. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. If we believe on the Son, that's the evidence that we have had, we do have right now, we will always have everlasting life. Now, I want to close by showing you a few verses that go with this in 1 John chapter 5, if you'll turn with me. 1 John chapter 5. First John 5, verse 9. It says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And let me say this. This whole book, the whole Word of God, what this is the record God has given us of his Son. It's all about Christ, the Son. Now look at verse 11. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Verse 12. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Speaking of John the Baptist, he had one purpose in life. And do you know it wasn't to baptize? We call him John the Baptist. His purpose wasn't to baptize. His purpose was to preach the gospel, declare Christ, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. John preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. He preached Christ. The title of my message is Sent to Declare Christ. That's what we've been sent to do. I'm so thankful God has sent men to declare Christ. As we heard it this morning. The apostle, I thank God for John. I thank God for the apostle Paul, who by the grace of God was determined not to know anything. Wasn't interested in anything save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Pray God would give us that same faith to believe in Christ and have that same determination to know nothing save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Amen.